Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge, and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. But today we are doing something special. We thought this was going to be a Christmas special, holiday special, whatever it was going to be. Last year we talked about Star Wars on one episode, and then we did the Mission Impossible marathon, where we watched all five Mission Impossible movies across 2 days or 3 days. Juliana came with me to talk about it, and actually Juliana joins me for this special episode. Say hello, Juliana.
Hello, everyone.
And this time we are doing what?
We do talk a bit about the Marvel Cinematic Universe,
yes.
Right? Did I get that right?
That's okay. Right. Now, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, when it started, it was like four films long. And people were like, oh, these movies are kind of linked together. Look, you know, this guy turns up in this movie and this movie. But now the Marvel Cinematic Universe, as everybody knows, is spread out into many different places and different formats and different kinds of media and things like that. So I kind of just not particularly like really into it, but I was kind of just keeping up with the movies. And I saw Iron Man years ago, and then I saw Thor and thought it was really, really stupid. So I hadn't really kept up with that. But then when Avengers came out, I was like, oh, if I just watch Captain America before I do it, this is going to be make a bit more sense. And this is kind of how it gets you. You just go, oh, well, this movie is coming out, so if I just watch that movie beforehand, it's going to make more sense, you know.
Yes.
And but then it was like 2 years ago or something, Age of Ultron came out, and I went and watched it, and I was like, you know what, just this thing of keeping up with the movies, that really backfired on me, because that was really not a good movie to bother going and seeing in the cinema. And you actually asked me at the time, shall I see it? And I was like, this movie would make no sense to you if you've not seen the previous movies. And then this year, was it in the summer, whenever it came out, I went to see the new Captain America movie. And
what was that?
Civil War movie.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that would be really good fun. Juliana would have really enjoyed that movie. But again, if she had seen previous ones, and a friend of yours was like really into the Captain America.
Yeah,
she got the Captain America t-shirt, yes. and things like that.
And so, always posted like photos of her sitting with a Blu-ray player and inviting friends over and stuff. And I thought,
watching these movies. And so you said, hey, should I watch these movies? And I was just like, it's going to take a long time to catch up. Because there's 12 movies or something.
I got in the first place because we started watching Jessica Jones.
Oh, yeah, that was it.
What started it.
It was actually Daredevil. A few years ago, I was like, okay, well, I watched like the first two episodes of Daredevil and were like, oh, this is actually really good fun. It's a bit dark, it's a bit violent, but there was something there which I was like, okay, I'm enjoying this. Not that I'm particularly into superhero shows or anything, but there was something else there which wasn't just superhero showness. There was more to it.
Daredevil.
Yeah. So then I showed you the first two episodes of Daredevil, and we're like, okay, let's do this. And we enjoyed that one. So what we decided to do is, instead of just catching up on the movies, because we'd already seen some of the other TV shows, the Netflix TVs, we'd seen two seasons of the Netflix, and I'd seen most of the movies before, I think all of them except Ant-Man. And so Ant-Man was the one I hadn't seen before. So what I thought I would do is we'd go through the movies, and then I was asking around going, well, actually, let's get to that story when we get to it. So let's just start. So what we're going to do this episode out, or what's up?
Thinking about it, I actually think it started with Guardians of the Galaxy. That was in 2014.
Yeah, but the point is that kind of stands outside of the rest of the...
Yes,
of
that was my first encounter of Marvel things.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that kind of sits outside of the normal... So you don't need to have seen any movies before make sense. Whereas in like some of the Captain America movies, you kind of need to see the previous movies for it to
make
sense.
And the Avengers and stuff. Yeah. You need to know what are these people.
Who are these people?
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we are going to talk about and review... It's a lot of stuff. 12 movies and 6 TV series in one episode of this podcast. We are doing Marvel Cinematic Universe... phases 1 and 2. We are in phase 3 at the moment. It's kind of an industry thing. It's sort of like the way that they are producing them, sort of like things fit into different phases, and there's different kind of turning point moments. And pretty much phase 2 ended at the end of 2015. So that's the way we're going to do it. If something is in 2016, like the latest movie, the Doctor Strange and the Civil War and the seasons of TV which were completed this year, we're not going to talk about them. Actually, no, we are. We'll talk about Luke Cage and stuff, because that also fits into it. Yes. And the the order that we're doing this in, or the order that we kind of tried to stick to, was this, it's this spreadsheet that I find. Because when you type in Marvel Cinematic Universe viewing order, you get all these infographics, but they've not been updated and things like this. Whereas this guy, I say guy, probably a guy, updates this Google... Yeah, it could be. Probably a guy. Updates this Google spreadsheet, Google Docs spreadsheet called MCU Viewing Order, last updated on the 23rd of November. So literally yesterday it was last updated. You know, when every new episode comes out, it's updated. Any new bit of news comes out, any new release date of future stuff comes out.
So it's very up to date.
Yes, that was kind of... We didn't really stick exactly to this. Oh, we didn't watch Agent Carter, but let's get on to that. So it actually says here, the next release is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 4, Episode 7. And it says, if you were to watch all of the MCU without taking a break, it would take you 5 days, 20 hours, and 51 minutes. That's actually not how much we've watched, because there's two and a half seasons of TV, which we've not done that, which is a lot more. But it's been quite a journey. So let's get straight into this. Shall we do it?
Let's do it.
Okay, we started off... there's different ways to watch it, when things were released chronologically in our time, or when they fit chronologically within the universe. Yeah. So we decided to go mostly in that direction. And the first one we watched was Captain America, the First Avenger, because it's the one set earliest. It goes back to the beginning. What do you think of this one? You got any? I've got some notes here when I watched it, but go for it.
Because we watch so much of it, it's difficult for me to go in all the details, but we get introduced to the guy who becomes Captain America.
Yes.
What's his name again?
Steve.
He's this like tiny guy and wants to join the army, and then he gets I'm going to do it, and he goes to it.
Yeah.
And then he becomes a super person.
Well, yeah, they have this super soldier program. Now, what I didn't realize when I watched this is that this super soldier program is mentioned so many other times. You know, all the times when they're trying to make other super soldiers, like, oh, we want to make this person a super soldier.
Yeah.
It always comes back to the only super soldier program that ever worked perfectly was Captain America. He was the guy who went in and came out the other end a super soldier, and he didn't come out with evil powers.
Yep.
He didn't come out deformed. He didn't come out... looking like the Hulk, because even like the later Hulk movie, they're like saying, oh, well, this is based on some super soldier program, which was tried back in 1943 or whatever it was, and then abandoned.
Okay.
And now we're going to try it. And someone turns into the Hulk and you're like, oh, that wasn't quite what we wanted. And then in the S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, it's sort of like, oh, we're trying this super soldier program and people's arms fall off and they explode and things like that. And like, well, that didn't quite work out.
Or they get mental problems.
Yeah. So what I do enjoy about this Marvel Cinematic Universe is if too many people have the same skill or the same superpower, it kind of diminishes that superpower a bit too much.
Right.
So each person has to have a unique thing that makes them super.
Yes.
You know.
Also, they have to be like kind of a good person at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, not always.
Yeah, but like Captain America had to be...
exemplifies that, yes.
Had to be a good character to enhance his good character moments, and like he wasn't like at evil inside hiding the whole time or something.
Unlike other people, like the what's the Red Skull? Is it Red Skull? Yeah, the Red Skull who sets up Hydra and stuff like that. Yeah, of course. This also introduces us to Hydra, which you think once Hydra is done and dusted in this movie, you're like, okay, that's Hydra, but no, Hydra comes back, which we'll talk about later on. There'll be mild spoilers for some of these things going throughout this, but no more than you would get just by like randomly watching a later movie or something like that.
No, but you know, in general. Yeah. When you have a good company or a good thing going on, there always has to be the antagonist.
Yeah.
So you can never expect any of those movies without an antagonist.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't work.
Yeah. So my notes from watching this at the time, because there's a forum that I chat on and I decided to post about these things. So it says the main bad guy. This was something that I always find a bit annoying in these movies, is that if you have to have someone to have a fight against someone, the people can't be too mismatched. And that's what we've seen time and time again. If somebody is awesome has got an awesome superpower. They've got to fight against someone, but they can't be more powerful because then it doesn't look realistic. But yes. They can't be less powerful because then it's just like John Wick, the movie John Wick, which is like the guy is just so amazing and everyone's like, oh shit, John Wick. And then he just goes in and just beats everyone one after the other. You're like, okay, that's a different kind. That's the Superman model. It doesn't matter what Superman comes up against. He just punches them until he wins. And you're like, right. Okay, there has to be more to this story. But I noticed actually, even years and years and years ago when I was watching this, I was like, but the bad guy is always just the same as the good guy with the same thing happening or has happened to them, but just happens to be bad. And in this case, the Red Skull was like the Nazi version of Captain America. That's what it was. He had the same serum with the same power or whatever it was, you know, the same kind of thing. And he just happens to be an evil guy who becomes a leader but is evil, if you know what I mean. And at the end, when they have a fight, you're like, oh, okay, these two are pretty well matched.
They always kind of want the good guys to win.
Yeah, we always want the good guys to win. No, not always. Yeah, not in every time. But, you know, it's there as well. So that was it. Stan Lee, who created or co-created or was produced a lot of these, wrote for a lot of these early characters, is in all of these things. And I made a note of him. So in this case, Steve Rogers, that's his name, when he's playing Captain America, he comes out on stage a few times and then he doesn't come out on stage, somebody else does, and Stan Lee says, I expected him to be taller. And I was like, and this was the first time when I said, do you know who that is? And you're like, no, just an old guy. And then the next time I was like, next time Stan Lee made a cameo, I was like, do you recognize this guy? And you were like, no. I was like, well, he was in the previous movie as well. And then it was only like four movies in and you were like, oh, who was that again? Or something like that. It took you a while. I mean, there's no reason to notice it, but I think after all of that time, you would, even if you didn't realize that's a Stan Lee cameo.
Spoiler here, in the last movie we watched, I did notice him.
Well, you've noticed him a few times now, but like other times, but for the first few movies, when I was pointing out, I was like, did you see that guy? And you're like, who? What? No, what are you talking about?
Why would I have any connection to a guy who shows up for 2 seconds?
And then 2 seconds and then leaves. Although he's been in previous movies. I do remember the first Spider-Man movie, or the first or second Spider-Man movie back in 2001 or whenever it came out. 2000, whenever the first Spider-Man movie came out, Stan Lee was in as a cameo in that as well.
Just one question:
what's that?
I tried to get into this kind of these comic movie.
Oh,
things.
We're not talking about those ones. That's not Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay, so
we don't need to watch that. We don't need to watch X-Men movies.
X-Men.
We don't need
Superman,
to watch Fantastic
Batman?
Four. No, Batman. Superman and Batman are not Marvel, so you'll never see them. That's Warner Brothers studios.
Right. And where was the other guy? Superman.
Superman is also Marvel. Warner Brothers. DC comic. It's a different comics.
Too many Supermans.
Yeah, anyway, so the other notes were for comments. I made some notes of these. Comments from Juliana. You said, Bucky isn't dead, is he? And you were like, and I was like, And then you said, oh, can we watch the Agent Carter show too, which we've not done. Oh, you also said Hugo Weaving's German accent is really good. The Red Skull is Hugo Weaving.
Yeah.
Who normally says, Mr. Anderson. So it was good. It's good to see Hugo Weaving back as a bad guy. And overall, I thought this was a fun movie. The special effects don't really stand up that well, I don't think. They were a little bit rough around the edges, but it was a lot of campy fun. It was like, hey, we're going to do an adventure movie. And it was just, you know,
and a guy who throws around a shield thing.
Yeah, a boomerang shield. Right then, next up.
Oh, by the way, this one feels very much like a small boy playing with little toy soldiers.
Yes.
They play war, and then he has a little figure with you know, he jumps around.
It's army men playing army men.
Yes.
All right then, let's move on. We don't want this episode to last 2 hours, so we've got to get through these. But it's good. We set up some of the expectations there. Okay, next up, continuing Marvel rewatch. Iron Man. Now, Iron Man was the one that I'd not seen for the longest before this, you know, because it came out in what? Actually, let's have a look at the spreadsheet here.
2008?
Iron Man came out 2008. So I probably watched it 2009. So that's quite a long time ago. And I remember really enjoying it. But then when I rewatched it, there was certain kind of things like I know it's weird to say this, but just from 2008 to 2016, when I watched it again, like the treatment of women is really different. Like,
yes.
you actually kind of understand now that after 12, 13 movies of these movies coming out, we still know female lead character, and you're like, it's a bit weird that like in all of these movies there's going to be like 22 movies and only one of them is going to have a female lead character in all of these Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. Yeah. And you know, with Jessica Jones, she's a lead female character, and you've got all these other strong characters, and especially with S.H.I.E.L.D. these days, it's like, you know, it's any character, flip a coin if they're going to be male or female, it's totally open. Whereas back there, you do it is, you know, really impressive, yeah, actually, the treatment of women.
Yes, and also in these kind of things, it's still like the damsel in distress.
Lots of damsel in distressing going on. So, yeah.
Very much like that. And yeah, in the recent, especially the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you never know.
And also Age of Ultron. The female characters have got they're just badass characters,
exactly,
alongside anyone else.
It's just normal. There's no difference. And why should there be?
So that was just something I made a note of because it was kind of noticeable at the time. So and at the time as well, the main bad guy. Guess what? The main bad guy in Iron Man. Was it Jeff Bridges who takes over? No, not Jeff Bridges. Yeah, maybe Jeff Bridges. Anyway, he creates a suit, another Iron Man suit, slightly more powerful. And at the end, two Iron Men have a fight. The special effects do really add up. Like, they still hold up pretty well. Much better than Captain America, even though it was an earlier movie. Because I think it's just easier to do special effects with iron and metal people moving rather than...
people jumping over tanks.
Yeah, tanks and things like that.
Explosions.
It's a little bit dodgy special effects. But, like, robots are really easy. That's why Transformer movies were so big and... you know, the special effects were so impressive because mechanical stuff is just easier to do.
Of course.
Comments from Juliana. Are we meant to like this guy? And then you said, this is so dumb. This is getting dumber. Nowhere near as enjoyable as Captain America. Stan Lee cameo. He does have cameo. He doesn't say anything. He doesn't have a line in this one. Overall, hard to feel for a hero who brings it all on himself because he is like this millionaire playball weapons dealer.
Yeah.
But I think over the course of the movies, we get to know him a bit better.
We get to know him a bit better, but he's still like so, like in his, he lives so much in his world.
Yeah.
And he's so arrogant against anything. And I know, of course, it's meant to be, he's over the top arrogant and then something happens and he gets more like normal arrogant.
Yeah.
But he's still like, this is one of his glitches in his character. I mean, this is kind of what makes... Stark.
Yeah.
But still, yeah, difficult to like the guy.
Yeah, difficult to like. Maybe in the end. So actually here, on the spreadsheet, on the Google Doc spreadsheet, the person who made this actually says, for those asking why the order is like this, I did research and watched everything to make this. Please don't message me saying the order is wrong. And also, with us, please don't message us saying that we got the order wrong in our watch through. We tried to get it mostly right, but some things did come out of order. Like, we weren't going to watch Daredevil season one again just because it had to fit in here and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's stuff we'd already seen. TV series we'd already seen. We didn't rewatch and stuff. Like, so next, so that's what I made at the bottom of the notes of this. I said, we can skip the Incredible Hulk, right? Right?
Right?
Right? Because the Incredible Hulk is awesome. So we did skip the Incredible Hulk. It should have come around about there. No, actually, after Iron Man 2. So anyway, Iron Man 2. I said this one was new to me. And the reason why this was new to me is because I heard it wasn't very good. And I totally understand why people watching it at the time, if you hadn't seen Iron Man 1 and you hadn't seen Captain America, and like all these other movies actually add to the movie.
Yeah.
Like, because they talk, like, other stuff happens, like they have, and now it's Stark Expo. And I was like, oh, Stark Expo was the thing that happened, like, where they go to the Flushing Meadows where the World Expo was.
Yeah.
But they actually go to the Stark Expo, which is the same place. Oh, sorry. In Captain America, they go to the World Expo.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, they see the things of the future and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But then Stark Expo happens in the same place. You know, we keep seeing this stuff happen at Flushing Meadow.
Yes.
You know, where the big ball is, the big globe is. You know, it's next to the tennis stadium and all that kind of area around there. You know, all the whole thing that happens at the end of Men in Black is that area, things that are actually...
I know this actually from Men in Black.
Yeah, of course. Most people know it from Men in Black. But that's the kind of thing. So once you actually go, oh, this is the same universe as Captain America, all that Stark Expo stuff kind of makes more sense. And in the background, there's references to Captain America. For example, in the background, we just see Captain America's shield because, you know, that was found. And it's sort of like, oh, there's Captain America's shield. And there's stuff from Thor, and they mention other things as well. Now, because I hadn't watched this, but I had previously, that I had watched the Avengers movie, Avengers Assemble, or whatever the first one is called, Avengers. Yeah. When in that movie, like characters that I didn't really know, the ones who didn't have their own movie beforehand, like Black Widow, like, you know, some other characters, like minor characters, you know, like Phil Coulson and the directors of S.H.I.E.L.D. and these other people.
Yes.
They just turn up in that movie and they're kind of treated like, oh, we should all know who Black Widow is. Oh, we should all know who, Hawkeye is.
Yeah.
Clint Barton is. And like those kind of things, you're just like, oh, but I don't really know who they are. But I didn't realize until I watched this, oh, a lot of these characters are introduced here in Iron Man 2. You know,
right.
It is just as much as an introduction to, what's her name? Natasha, or Black Widow. But also there was another guy who turns up in a later movie. He turns up in, I can't remember. He turns up in Iron Man 3, War Machine. And I didn't realize that War Machine was actually the Air Force lieutenant who was in the first movie, but they changed actors. Like, yes. It's played by Don Cheadle in Iron Man 3, and because I'd seen that when I was like, oh, who's this guy? Where did he turn up from? And I didn't realize that that character was War Machine. He was in that first movie, but they changed actor in this movie, and it's just a different guy playing the same role, playing the same character.
Yeah, like the Hulk.
What's that? Oh, yeah. So, yeah, different characters. Yeah, actually, I think Howard Stark, I was like, who's, because we just saw him in the recent movie, and I was like, who is that who plays Howard Stark? And it turns out, yeah, like different actors have played him in the TV show, and the young Howard Stark is a different, you know, when you see him in World War II, is a different guy to old Howard Stark and things. So that's what really confused me. But we are also introduced to War Machine and these other characters, which I guess are all from the comics. I must admit, I don't think I've ever read any of these comics. I've never read Captain Marvel. I've never read, Captain America. None of these comics. I'm just knowing this purely from the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Although I have seen the previous Captain America movie from like the 80s or whatever it was. Oh, it's terrible. anyway, so when watching this in order, knowing that this is, and seeing later movies, like after seeing the Avengers and seeing Iron Man 3 and seeing these other ones, coming back and watching Iron Man 2 for the first time. Even though I understand watching it as in isolation as a standalone movie, I'd be like, oh, that's a bit weird. Like, that doesn't really work so much as a movie. Once you actually view it, like, the unit of entertainment isn't a single movie, or it isn't three movies. It's like, it's two phases of movies. Like, it's part. Yeah. If you just watch this as one episode of 12 movies, it's actually a lot more enjoyable to watch it that way, having seen later movies.
Definitely. I remember. I think I might have seen some stuff from Iron Man because I like robots.
Yeah.
But I can't remember anything. So I always thought, I should go and watch Iron Man again.
And now you have.
And now I have. And yes, so it makes a lot of sense to do this in like a marathon kind of thing that we do if you haven't already started.
Yeah, it's worth watching. But like I say, also, put some of these early movies, not so good. Push through them, it kind of makes sense later.
We did watch The Incredible Hulk, just so I
Let's
know.
Let's get on to that next. We'll get on to that soon.
Just so I understand who's that guy, how.
Let's get on to that. I want to stick with Iron Man 2. There's just a few comments. The main bad guy, I said it's the same powers as the main hero, but the other way around. In this case, there's two main bad guys. One is got the same powers because he's a weapons company CEO, but a bad person. And the other guy, whose main powers is building stuff in montages, because that's what Tony Stark does.
Yeah.
He builds stuff in montages.
Yeah.
And that's what the main bad guy with the whips, you remember the guy with the whips?
Yeah.
He does that. He builds
the
stuff
Russian
in montages.
Guy.
Yeah, the Russian guy. Yeah. He builds stuff in montages, and you're like, oh, so there's actually two different bad guys, but both of them have one of Tony Stark's superpowers, which is being a billionaire weapons dealer. And the other one is building stuff in montage, but both of those things together. Comments from Juliana. Of course, the women are just there to be annoying and to be rescued. Stan Lee appears on the red carpet, which is good. Oh, bonus cameo, Elon Musk in this one. You were like, oh, yeah. Oh, that's Elon Musk. I guess he's probably more famous now, but like there's that whole thing. Oh, yeah, like when they were directing or when they were doing the scripting for the first Iron Man movie, Elon Musk was one of the model characters. They were like, okay, Tony Stark has to be a bit like this guy, billionaire, playboy, genius, inventor
in
kind of thing.
In future technologies.
On to Thor next.
Right.
Which follows on from the post-credit skit, which is called The Consultant, where people are going, oh, we've got to do this, which is actually a little bit... The post-credits stinger, that's what they're called, the stinger, where Agent Coulson drives through the desert in Arizona, where he is, looks over the hill and looks down, and there's a crater with a hammer in it. And you're like, ooh, is that... And I was like, yep, that's Thor. Yes. And then we went straight on to Thor. Now, just... Everybody knows Thor. You've got Thor, you've got Loki, you've got battles and stuff like that, whatever. The main thing is here is the villain, the most interesting villain so far, because what is Loki? Is Loki the same as Thor but evil?
No.
No, he's not. Exactly. This is the first main bad guy that we've had, which isn't just... because he's the opposite skills. He doesn't have... I mean, he does have some strength because he's Asgardian, so he has got like the strength of a normal god, but not the strength of the god of thunder and war like Thor does.
Yeah.
So he's... It's all intellectual. It's all cleverness. It's all sneakiness, yes. Which is... you know, Thor isn't very interesting, really.
He's kind of like the perfect god.
Well, he's not perfect. He's too arrogant and he's weak in other ways.
But this is part of, like, if you describe a god living in heaven, like, and doing
Asgard,
they're eating, they're feasting,
yeah.
They're women.
Yeah.
It's like all the stuff that you see on, like, Roman paintings.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Thor isn't Roman.
It isn't, but if you compare Zeus
and Jupiter and Thor are all gods of thunder and lightning or whatever. Yeah, so
they are all very comparable.
Yes.
If you compare it to other kind of cultures with gods,
yep.
You find all these kind of gods everywhere.
Yep, I totally agree. Anyway, so I totally understand why Loki, when they went to Avengers and they're like, okay, we're going to do it in a movie where we're going to get all these guys together and they're going to be in one movie. We need a bad guy as well. Which bad guy are they going to choose? I mean, they're not going to choose the bad guys which were defeated and killed in the previous movies, and they're not going to...
You always can bring them back.
You can bring them back, but the good thing is, the point is with Loki, is suddenly you're like, oh, this guy, this is the most... So I totally understand why Loki was the main bad guy. Of course, they got some alien cannon fodder, but really, it became like the breakout hit
from Thor.
And
we already knew it at the end of Thor.
Yeah.
Because
we see the post-credit scenes and stuff like that.
Exactly.
So we know more stuff's going to happen. So, Thor, it's weird. This is actually directed by Kenneth Branagh, who is best known for doing, Shakespeare adaptations, and that's what he's best known for.
Well,
in
that's
movie
needed
making
for this movie.
Yeah, you need that kind of like operatic style, you know. So this definitely felt slower and less comedic than the others, but I think it held together pretty well.
Yeah.
This movie,
it was overall a lot more like not serious in the way that they take the story more serious, but more serious in the way the characters take themselves.
Yeah.
In other movies, the characters don't take themselves that serious.
But they're still kind of comedic. You know, like when Thor says, I need a horse or a dog big enough to carry a man.
Yeah.
People are like, what? Well, you've got some...
Yes.
You know, so there is...
But he means it. Like, and that's the difference.
Yeah. There were other good movie references, which I just didn't pick up on this. Like when the first time I watched Thor years ago. So someone says, is this one of Stark's, like where the destroyer comes down, which I really like the destroyer, this big badass magical robot thing which opens its face and shoots flames out. You're like, oh, this guy's pretty badass. Like I could kind of like to see, I mean, the destroyer is just
a prop.
It's just a prop in the movie, but it's a kind of a better prop than a lot of the robot villains that you have in a lot of these things. So someone says, is this one of Stark's? And other people say, oh, what's going on? So I like it because I didn't pick up these references at all. And then Thor, this was the weird thing, that Thor seemed very eager to sign up for S.H.I.E.L.D. You know, Agent Coulson is there and is like, oh, thanks for helping out. And Thor is like, yes, I'll help you out in the future. Now, at the time when I first watched this, I was like, why is he doing that? Like, who's S.H.I.E.L.D.? Why, what's going on? Of course, I didn't realize that Avengers was a thing back then the first time. And now I see it, I'm like, yeah, but I know kind of what happens to S.H.I.E.L.D. in the future. Thor seems to be very happy to sign up with an organization that he doesn't really know. He's just like, oh, you're the good guys, are you? Well, I'll be with you. You know, it seems a bit naive. But that kind of, it kind of makes more sense. Because when I was watching this, I was like, well, is S.H.I.E.L.D., are they the good guys or the bad guys? Because they kind of take over and they steal all of Princess Amidala's research and stuff like that. And then, so you're just going, well, like, are these good? Like, is Coulson, is he like the Men in Black, like saving the universe? And it turns out, yes, he is just Men in Black. Which actually I think is another Marvel comic adaptation, I think, originally. Yeah, I'm not sure. But so you get that kind of thing, like, oh, S.H.I.E.L.D. are Men in Black, but are they like Men in Black in a good way? But sometimes Men in Black, they're kind of like, they can be bad guys as well. You're like, okay. Hawkeye is in this one. He turns up and he watches Thor run around. That's why I completely forgot he was in this movie, because he's just a guy and he sits and he's got his bow and arrow and he goes, shall I shoot him? And they're like, no. And he puts his bow and arrow away. So you see Hawkeye, he never fires a bow and arrow. He's just a guy in a thing looking at things, but it's okay.
We see him. So that makes it special.
And I'm like, oh, look, here he is. I was like, oh, this guy is going to be important. You're like,
and
what?
I think like this is the kind of like, also the kind of balancing like out. Yeah. It's female roles, not only being like helpless and I want to be helped. Still there.
Yeah, still like, a bit helpless.
What's her name? I mean, what's Natalie Portman's role? We don't know.
Jane Potter? No, that's Pepper Potts.
Dr. Jane something something. Anyway, she's a scientist.
Yeah.
So she's doing stuff.
Yeah.
She's doing stuff. She's not just like, oh my God.
Oh, and also Lady Sif is there. And she does stuff as well.
She's a badass person. Yeah. And then also there's the assistant to Dr. Jane something something.
Yeah, intern.
Yeah. And so they have some...
Yeah, I do like it in the next movie where he's like, oh, who's this? That's my intern. So my intern has an intern?
Yes, exactly.
Which I think is quite fun.
This is the kind of the point when it changes a bit, the view on the women. Maybe a bit.
Comments from Juliana. Why didn't he lead with that? That's always what happens when someone has a power and they hold it in reserve.
Yeah.
And then they bring it out. And it's really funny because in the previous movie, Iron Man 2, someone says that kind of thing and like suddenly brings out this laser and kills loads of robots and stuff, and it's like, why didn't you lead with that?
Yeah.
And the same thing happened
in Pacific Rim.
Yeah, and it's always that kind of thing. Sort of like right at the very end, he brings out the weapon which would have killed all of his enemies up until then, but he struggled with all the enemies, and then he like bring out the big sword and go like that. And you said that same thing. Why didn't you lead with that? Also, you said at this point, his hammer is going to fly over to him now, isn't it? And just as you were saying that, his hammer picked up and flew over to him and stuff like that. Stanley is in this. He doesn't have a line, but he rips off the back of his truck when trying to pull the hammer out. You know, they're trying to pick up the hammer.
It's like this is how it starts.
Yeah,
everyone goes there and goes, yeah, I'm strong enough.
And this one,
I'm worthy, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the special effects in this one are actually really good. Asgard is really beautiful. I really enjoy all the stuff in the other realm, which is good. And generally, the special effects. And overall, I thought Thor was a pretty good movie. It's not in the higher ranked movies like some of the really good
average movies,
but it's kind of an average movie. But yeah, works pretty well as a movie. And then rewatch order, the last chance to watch The Incredible Hulk before Avengers or straight on to The Avengers. Now, I had seen this movie, Incredible Hulk. Yeah, The Incredible Hulk, because the Hulk one was the previous Hulk movie. Anyway, this is The Incredible Hulk. And the only reason we watched this is because I was like, right, we're going to miss The Incredible Hulk. Let's just go straight on to Avengers. And we went onto Netflix and looked through and I was like, wait, Avengers has disappeared. because Netflix doesn't always keep all of the movies all the time. You know, sometimes these ones are there, sometimes those ones are there. And then Avengers had just disappeared from my watch later list. And I was like, but The Incredible Hulk was there. And I didn't want to skip on to next stuff. And I didn't want to go back. So in the end, I was just like, okay.
You asked me, actually, do you want to do this?
Do you want to do this? And in the end, we were just like, fuck it. Let's just go for it. Let's just get through Incredible Hulk.
Incredible. It has the stuff in the title. It is incredible.
It's not incredible. It's just dull. We got through an hour, and then we couldn't just go, and we just turned it off, and we're just like, fuck it, let's just go to bed.
It was also...
But then we did come back and watch the rest of it, like the next 40 minutes of it the next day. But holy shit, was that hard work to get through. There's stuff happening
before the pre-credits, or how do you call that?
Like pre-credit sequence. Yeah.
So there's a sequence, and in that sequence, more...
Is said
like, and happening than in the whole movie.
Yeah. All you need to know about the Incredible... Pretty much all you need to know about the Incredible Hulk is... And this is what happens in the movie. What happens in the movie is that Edward Norton is experimented... Bruce Banner. Bruce Banner is Bruce Banner, isn't it?
Bruce Banner.
Yeah, because I actually know a friend of mine who lives in Banner Castle, Matty, Leah's friend she goes running with, Matty. His second name is Banner, and his father's name is Bruce. So I actually did know Bruce Banner. Anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, so Bruce Banner, in the opening credits, it's not pre-credits, actually the opening credits. It's all right. As the credits are going around, we see Bruce Banner being experimented on.
Yes.
And turning into the Incredible Hulk, and then escaping and running away and hiding. The movie begins, like the credits ends with Bruce Banner in hiding after being experimented on and having superpowers.
Yeah.
It ends with him. It literally, we don't need to go over what happens in the middle. The main bad guy is Blonsky, Tim Roth.
Okay.
Who gets turned into a Hulk. He just fights another Hulk at the end. You know, it's sort of like same. The bad guy is just the bad guy with different superpowers. And at the end of the movie, they have a big fight in Brooklyn, and then Bruce Banner goes into hiding again.
Yep.
And that's it. So what happens is we get the movie starts with Bruce Banner having superpowers and not wanting to be found and being in hiding. And the movie ends with him with superpowers and not wanting to be in trouble and hiding.
Yeah.
And that's it. And you're just like, nothing happened in this. Nothing happened in this movie that was worth watching. Also, the soundtrack is awful. There was actually a, what was that? I think it was Nerdwriter or one of those cinema. We watched the Nerdwriter video last night. And another one of those was like, why does the Marvel Cinematic Universe have such bad music?
Yes, not outstanding.
Yeah. Oh, no, it wasn't. That was Every Frame a Painting, wasn't it? But then Nerdwriter did a response to it or something. Anyway, there was some different movies that went on. They say, why does it have such bad music? And I partially agree with those videos. But one of the things that they opened the video was, it was Every Frame a Painting. And he says, can you sing or can you hum any music from any Marvel movie?
No, he starts with, sing a tune from Star Wars.
Oh yeah, that was it. But in it, when he gets to sing any theme tune from Marvel, anything to do with Marvel, and nobody can do anything. I would have been able to do something. And this is what the soundtrack for the Incredible Hulk sounds like.
Are you saying it sounds like me playing the cello?
Well, first of all, there are some great soundtracks. For example, the soundtrack for Psycho is famous.
For those high-pitched violins.
No, yeah, for that. But the reason why they're using high-pitched violins is because there is nothing except strings. It's only strings.
Yes.
There are nothing else except strings.
It creates this high tension. Yeah. It's high, it's annoying.
But also, it just gives the whole movie something to hang together. It gives an identity to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
This movie, Incredible Hulk, is like someone went, I wonder if I can do an entire Marvel action movie, superhero movie, only using strings. It turns out, no, you can't. I mean, it doesn't do that. But so many sections, it's just like, wah! And it's so just pathetically, I don't know who did the music to it, but it's just awful. And massive sections where there's no action. You know, like he gets turned into the Hulk at the beginning in the credits.
At the beginning and then in the whole movie.
Yeah, and then it's just like, you see that. And then there's just whole sections where he's just not doing anything and he suddenly gets from here to there and he doesn't have any money. It's just like, it's so bad.
Yeah,
it's
he gets down so to the coast of South America in like 3 days or something.
And then at some point he was wanting to do like they're trying to do the Betty is the love interest, Betty, whatever her name is. Liv Tyler. And it's just pathetic and she's just...
Oh yeah, she's... Her acting, I mean, I know her only from Armageddon. And
she's just a weepy woman with lips.
Cute and like belly and stuff. love interest.
Just,
and she's not talking. Like, she's not really acting.
But then
anything.
The tone of the movie is really bad. They suddenly switch to, like, and it's her and Bruce, and they're trying to do this witty banter. Iron Man and, Tony Stark and Pepper Potts can do that because you've got two really strong actors playing off. Gwyneth Paltrow can hold her own against Robert Downey Jr. No problem, because she's a great actor and she's just backwards and forwards, banter, backwards and forwards. But Betty and Bruce, there is no Nick and Nora dynamic if you've seen the old Thin Man movies. Like,
No,
you should watch them. The Thin Man, really great, from the 1931 or something. Really great comedy movies.
Okay.
And yeah, it's like Nick and Nora, like the two equal partners in it. Even if the man has got the real superhero, you realize that the woman is the one who's really calling the shots, and that becomes more and more apparent as you go through with Pepper Potts and Tony Stark. In the end, she's just running the company, like she's over there doing all the important stuff, and he's not.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then there's suddenly random jokes, and suddenly like it's talking about, oh, my pants split, oh, my pants don't split, you know, oh, I need something a bit more with elastic, and you're just like, it doesn't work. Like, up until this point, the whole movie has been, and suddenly he's doing jokes. Anyway, it's awful.
We should just make an episode just about the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, yeah, but it's just so bad. William Hurt, I was like, he was in the main bad guy, and I was like, oh, I think I recognize him. He is actually in Captain America Civil War, which you've not seen yet. But there are some other MCU, like Stark is mentioned, and he turns up in the Stinger at the end. He's called the Consultant. It's just in the Stinger. Yes. But then there's like these other little movies that Marvel released, which are, we're not going to talk too much about them because they're a little bit outside of how things normally go.
Yeah.
But The Consultant, when we watch that as the Stinger, it looks like, oh, we're putting a team together. We need a superhero. Are you going to support us? It sounds like he's asking Secretary of State Thaddeus Ross to if he can have Bruce Banner, but it isn't. It's actually he's wanting Blonsky, and we see like the behind the scenes of the behind the scenes of them putting the Avengers together.
Yeah.
It was actually like a fake thing. It's sort of like, if we ask him to give us Blonsky, of course he's not going to do it, and that means we don't have to talk to him about the Avengers initiative and things like that. So again, S.H.I.E.L.D., good guys are the bad guys. Later Captain America movies kind of do this as well. And I think I actually thought Tim Roth as Blonsky was really good. You know, like the badass special forces guy who gets superpowers, and you're like, oh, this is why they used Captain America. This is why they used Steve Rogers, who wasn't already a super soldier badass, to give special powers to.
Yes.
Because when you do, it might not work out well. Anyway, so just to finish off about this one, because we're going quite long. Comments from Juliana. Liv Tyler's top lip is very distracting.
Yeah, she has like... I looked it up afterwards. She had lip surgery and stuff. And you think like, why? Why, people?
Next comment. Nothing has happened in this movie yet. Next comment. How did he get from Guatemala to New York with no money? That's a great question. That's a great question. Next one. Everyone wearing helmets and body armor in the helicopter dies, but the two named characters in civilian clothes survive. You didn't say exactly that, but that was your comments. You're like, how did all those people, like, you know, I'm just expressing it. So I'm like,
and this is like something that comes again and again.
But it is so clear. Like, the helicopter crashes, you'd think the people with helmets and body armors would survive, but no.
Well, this is clearly something that only in the Marvel universe is happening, because in our world, if you're wearing more protection, you're more likely to survive at the end. And it's the same with the S.H.I.E.L.D. people. They go in, they have an upper body security, vest things. And the others have helmets and like they're protected all over the body.
You don't want to see the faces of the extras, because they're going to be changing places. You don't want to keep track of them. You keep track of the main character and the main character's damsel in distress.
But these peek around a corner, shoot once, and the guy is falling.
Forget it. The thing is, you only mention this when the movie is otherwise so bad. Like, if that happens in the Avengers, you're just like, oh, okay, everyone dies, but Tony Stark survives. It's like, when that happens, it doesn't matter. Tony Stark moving, so he goes from being a man in hiding at the start of the movie to a man in hiding at the end of the movie. I already knew this, but when you said that, I was like, yes, that's the main point of this movie. Someone going into hiding. Anyway, and at the very end, the last minute when Tony Stark turned up was the only good part, and I don't even like Tony Stark. that your least favorite, or not your least favorite character, but the character that you didn't like before, suddenly becomes the best part of this movie.
Yep.
Stan Lee cameo, he drinks Hulk blood. Now, I think this explains why he can turn up in so many other movies, is because he drunk Hulk blood and now he's like immortal and gets through.
Like,
and that's how he gets around between different places to turn up in these other movies.
It's like people superstitiously think if they drink rhino blood, they get strong. People
the
that is
does
not that.
He does actually get Hulk blood in
this
movie.
Understand this, but in the real world this doesn't work.
So I would say what you need to do first, the movie was so, this is my notes, the movie is so bad that I now have very fond memories of Ang Lee's Hulk movie, and I'm sure that can't be right. Anyway, the I was trying to find the bit here. Oh, yeah. Overall, fuck this movie. So I would say if you're going to watch this MCU, do not watch this movie. What you can do is watch the opening credits of this movie.
Yeah.
Skip forward to when Blonsky, just say, okay, that's what's happened so far. And there's this guy called Blonsky who has found the Hulk technology and gets the Hulk technology. And now the Hulk turns back up to fight Blonsky.
Yeah.
Watch the last sequence where they have a fight in Harlem. And then the end stinger, watch the stinger at the end of the credits, and that's it. So I would say, really, it's worth watching that as a lead up
to understand where this person's on
where he's coming
up
from.
And
you know the story of Hulk, but you might as well watch the opening credits, skip forward to three chapters before the end, watch Blonsky become Blonsky, Incredible Hulk comes out the woodwork, he's been captured, he comes out, fights him, that's it. That's all you need to know. That's it. And then it kind of makes sense.
And even if you do, if you are like, if you really want to know what's going on and you watch it and you come to a point where you think, oh, is this really, yes, it is going to be more like that, so just skip passages.
Skip.
I'm not suggesting that very often, but with this one, clearly.
Yes. All right, then. Let's move on to what is next in my notes. Oh, actually, let's quickly have a look here. Oh, yeah. In these things, like I said before running up to the Avengers, are these different little one-shots, Marvel one-shots. We've got Agent Carter, which you've not watched. But then we've got The Consultant. A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer, which is quite fun.
Yeah.
With Coulson as well. And then after these other ones, you've got like Item 47 and All Hail the King, which we don't really need to go into. But they're just little side glimpses.
But
like,
it's fun
what's
to
this
watch
character
them.
Doing
it's
here?
It's worth it.
It's worth watching these things.
Especially All Hail the King.
Yeah. And Item 47 is fun because you kind of see where, you know, these other characters who are going to be in these later movies and TV shows.
And you get to understand S.H.I.E.L.D. a bit better.
A little bit better. Yeah, you kind of get a little bit more behind the scenes of like, oh, they're putting the Avengers Initiative together. What does that actually mean? Mm. Oh, we've got to send this person in here and we've got to get this person to come over as well. So let's do the next movie, which is Avengers. This is where they get the whole team together. The first time I watched this, I hadn't seen some of the previous movies. So I hadn't seen Iron Man 2. So I didn't know, like, some of the characters that turn up. I was like, oh, okay, that character, who's that? What's...
You just have to
Just accept that this person does that and that person does that. But in the end, it's fine. It is a kind of movie that I think to watch Avengers, you pretty much need to see Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, Thor, and Captain America. You don't need to have seen the Hulk and these other bits and pieces. I think that's all. But those four movies really do set it up. Like, I hadn't seen Iron Man 2 the first time I watched Avengers. And I do think watching Iron Man 2 first is more important because, like you say, you do get introduced to Black Widow. Because in this movie, she just turns up and she's like, why is she, like, where did she come from? Who is this person? She's an assassin, but is she a bad person or is she a good person?
Yeah.
And then also Hawkeye, like, he turns up and immediately gets mind controlled into being a bad guy. And you're like, oh, who was he again? Like, I guess people who know the comics probably understood a bit more, but it was good to actually watch these other movies.
Do you think in general the Marvel people kind of estimate, you know, how do you say, they want you to read the comics, like they go in making the movies thinking people will have read followed along the comics.
I think the reason why these movies are so successful is because they are directly accessible to people who haven't even seen the previous movies before.
Yeah.
Like, I know, I mean, I'm sure most people, when they saw the Avengers the first time, hadn't seen all of the other previous... They hadn't seen, you know, Captain America, Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2, Thor, Incredible Hulk. They hadn't seen those previous five movies that would need to see. They just go in, and you know what? It's a perfectly good enough thing. You're like, oh, this guy is a guy... Because in the opening moments of the movie, they kind of reintroduce all of these people.
Yes.
You get to see this person turn up. You go, oh, you get to see them track down the Hulk and go, oh, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry, or whatever the quote is, or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows enough about the Hulk already, so it doesn't matter if you've not watched that movie. And, and the other characters are all introduced enough.
And it kind of, for me, it always felt like it follows along very much a format.
Yep.
A format of, like, I always thought, what, Avengers and Fantastic Four? And, like, I always was confused. I always thought, is this the same? Is that different?
I've never watched a Fantastic Four movie or TV show or anything.
In general, it's always kind of like the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
You have different people with different powers coming together to fight the bigger evil.
Each one of them wouldn't be able to defeat the whole thing at once, but together they do, and they bring the Avengers together, and it's just a fun movie. It's sort of like, oh, these characters, they start off and they're rivals, but then by the end they make a team.
And it's the greater thing, like, oh, an individual might not be strong enough, but as a team,
we can make it
all
work.
Teamwork is worth it.
We can make it all work. So let me go across to my notes for this movie. I said Avengers/Avengers Assemble. It's because there's already a movie called The Avengers. There was a British TV show called The Avengers.
Oh, right.
So when they brought this out in Europe and in the UK, they called it Avengers Assemble, just so it didn't have the same name as a previous movie.
Okay.
And if you ever see the previous Avengers movie, it's awful. Don't watch it. I think it's got Uma Thurman and Sean Connery in it. It's terrible. Terrible, terrible movie. I said, after the epic fail of The Incredible Hulk, how well would the Avengers get rid of the sour taste in our mouths? And I said, very well, thank you. It's actually, it's one of those scenes... I hadn't actually seen this movie all the way through in one sitting before.
Ah.
I don't think.
So you only started parts and then...
I think so. Because I'd watched it on a plane, but hadn't... But maybe I had... I don't think I watched it in the cinema, so I'd only watched it at different parts and stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun, but since then, I'd watched the Age of Ultron movie, and that kind of soured me on the Avengers, because that was kind of stuck in my head, and I was like, oh, I really didn't enjoy Age of Ultron, but Civil War was really good, and then I went back and watched this, and I was like, oh yeah, actually, this is really good fun. So again, I'm asking, are the S.H.I.E.L.D. guys the good guys or the bad guys? Because at the end, they want to nuke New York to stop the threat. But I'm like, but the aliens were only in like six blocks of like Midtown. You know, they were coming down the thing, going around the Grand Central Station or whatever that area is, you know, that kind of Midtown area. They didn't even start destroying... Like,
but aren't the military people doing it?
No, but it's S.H.I.E.L.D. who are like, let's shoot a nuclear bomb. And it feels, but the point is, it really feels like a plot hole that S.H.I.E.L.D. are wanting to blow up New York with a nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
And you're just like, this is really weird. Of course,
but...
we find out later. So it's weird watching this movie. A lot of the plot holes is it a good guy? Is it are these guys good guys or are these guys bad guys? What's going like that? Another thing that was interesting was Hawkeye and Black Widow, Clint and Natasha, I made a note here. They actually hold up as interesting characters alongside the bigger characters. They do actually feel like equal parts of the
movie. Even though they are the humans, like they are not enhanced in weird ways. They are enhanced by work and physical training.
You think that, like, even in that latest movie, when we go to Clint's home, and you see this, you see his archery equipment, like his archery practice equipment.
Yeah.
And there are things which aren't exactly in the bullseye.
Exactly.
So you think, in the past, he didn't always hit bullseye all the time, but he does seem to have some supernatural archery abilities.
Yes.
But
he's still human.
Still human level.
Exactly.
Like, he doesn't have superpower. When
no,
he gets into a fight,
not a god,
it's like, oh. Bad guy, Loki, also alien army to provide cannon fodder. Yeah, pretty much. Oh, here's another thing. Another thought about Hulk. In this movie, we see Pepper Flotts. She flies off to Washington to get away from the trouble.
Pepper Potts. You said Pepper Flotts.
Pepper Potts. And we also have a note about Jane Foster.
Oh,
which
that's her.
Jane Foster.
That's...
What did I say? Yeah, I couldn't remember the second name.
Dr. Jane Foster.
Yeah.
She's...
No, but I made a note. I didn't remember it. It's written in front of me.
The scientist from Thor.
Yeah. So, and Thor says, oh, We got to call Jane Foster. Let's get her some research position in Norway. Let's get her out the way. So they send her off to Norway. But what about Betty Ross from Hulk?
Nobody
never mentioned. Never mentioned. So for the purpose of the later Avengers move, it's literally like, oh, the Hulk is the Hulk. Anything that happened in that previous movie? Well, actually, it is mentioned. He actually said, last time I was in New York, I destroyed Harlem. And they're like, what part of Harlem? He's like, pretty much I destroyed all of Harlem. You know, so there is that one line where when the Hulk comes back in that he mentioned that he had a battle in Harlem before. So, you know, it's kind of that's why I say watch that last battle of the Hulk
movie.
That's
pretty much all you need to know.
That's all you need to know. Comments from Juliana. Haha, this is awesome. I can't remember what you said about that, but probably some fighting stuff going on.
Yeah.
And then you ask, why did Captain America give Nick Fury $10? And I wasn't quite sure about that as well, because at one point he goes, oh, here's $10, and he gives him $10.
A bet thing.
And yeah, it was a bet at the beginning of the movie. He said, I'll bet you $10 this does something that you can't impress me more. Like, after, you know, after seeing that, because he's been in cold freeze for 60 years, and he comes out.
And then the helicopter turns up, and
he's like, okay, I'm going to give you $10. You have impressed me more.
Yeah.
You said the Hulk looks way better in this one. He does.
And then isn't that a different character as well, a different actor?
Yes, different actor. But also, I think, just the look of the Hulk.
Oh, yeah.
And then you said, no, Coulson, which is quite funny.
Yeah.
Stan Lee cameo, when they go around the world, hey, the Avengers have saved us from this, and they go around clips of people all the way around the world saying that. And he's playing chess in that montage at the end. So overall, it takes a lot of investment in time to get to know these characters in other movies, but I think the Avenger pays it off. Like, if you put in the time to watch the previous five movies and the one-shot things, it's kind of worth watching those, except for The Incredible Hulk. It's kind of worth going through them because The Avengers, it is kind of like, when it came out, it's a really impressive movie-making idea. Like, it's actually quite experimental, even though it's a blockbuster movie. I do like the idea that someone said, hey, what we're going to do is instead of having a movie and then having a smaller spin-off movie and then a smaller spin-off movie and then this
and
character
then a prequel
gets
of a prequel and
stuff
and
like
then
that.
A sequel,
they
and
just
then...
said, okay, we're going to get this character, this character, this character, this character, and from all these different movies, and then we're going to bring them together and it's going to be the all-star movie. And it works. And of course, that's now what DC are trying to do. And, you know, like Harry Potter is doing it now. It's sort of like, oh, we can have it's all existing in the same world. And this character from this movie can come in. And this character, I mean, I don't know if in the Fantastic Creatures and Where to Find Them movie, like Hagrid is going to turn up or whatever. You know,
it's not about the character. It's just about
world. They say muggles. We saw the trailer and they said muggles. Yes. But also, I mean, which is also Disney owns Marvel. They also own Star Wars. So Star Wars is doing this. The DC,
it's obviously
Warner Brothers are doing
in cinema.
Yeah, they're also doing
one universe and then playing.
They're also doing it with the old horror. I can't remember what it is. The Hammer horror movies. So Frankenstein, Dracula, Van Helsing, The Mummy. You know, all these like classic horror. They all now have their own cinematic universe as well.
Right.
So there's going to be like all the werewolves and vampires and stuff. They're all going to have like they're all going to play into each other's. Into each other's movies.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So a mummy can turn up in a Dracula movie, can turn up in a werewolf movie. That's the way they're going to do. So what I realize now is I said, hey, let's see if we can do... When we were chatting before, I was like, let's see if we can
phase
do
one
this.
Phase 1 and 2.
We're going to do phase 1 and 2. We are approaching 56 minutes. Oh, we're just passing 56 minutes. So that is phase 1. I think we've talked enough about phase 1.
Yes, I think we should separate it in two podcasts.
So, but yeah, I mean, because there's actually fewer movies coming up or like next. But also, we can talk about the TV
show. The TV series, yeah.
Which I don't want to do like whole episodes about the TV series. So let's just call this one... Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 1. We talked about, let me go back to this. Yeah, we talked about Captain America, Stark Expo. Oh yeah, there's these little web videos as well. Stark Expo 1974, which is actually quite fun. Iron Man, Iron Man 2, Incredible Hulk, The Consultant, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Thor's Hammer, Thor, The Avengers. Oh, and item 47 is, like I say, someone goes, oh, some lots of alien tech fell out of the sky and someone finds
Let's
an alien gun
it.
and it's a fun thing which actually shows how S.H.I.E.L.D. works, that these criminals go around and they shoot stuff but they're quite resourceful, and at the end, spoiler, they say, we're not going to send you to jail, we actually want you to sign up for S.H.I.E.L.D. and that does set up what S.H.I.E.L.D. is like, especially for later TV shows. It's sort of like, oh, this is an interesting person.
Yeah.
We're going to make a note of them, and in the future we're either going to put them in jail or in the future we're going to sign them up to S.H.I.E.L.D.
To help us.
There's very few people. I mean, there is a list later on where they say, oh, you're on the list. You're on this list. But generally, that list is to either keep an eye for
the
bad
index.
People. Oh, the index. That's it. Yeah. So if you're on the index, it means you're either going to be useful or you're going to be dangerous. And
yes.
That, and the item 47
kind of
sets
that up. They're kind of like librarians.
Yeah,
you know, categorizing things, keeping an eye on.
Yeah,
and
Agent 47. No, sorry. Item 47 is a fun little glimpse into that. So let's wrap that up there. Let's just say worth watching, worth going through phase one. Is it good?
Yeah. I mean, it is an interesting journey.
Yeah.
Definitely ups and downs. But it's fun to also, it's kind of like cinema history now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird to say this because some of these movies are like from 2000.
Yeah, but there's so many movies where you can really only appreciate the current movies if you
exactly.
know the history
and,
of the
and
filmmaker.
Not only, or... And not only the following phases in
yeah.
the our own Marvels, but
yeah.
also in other movies. Like
yeah.
you can see things like being made there the first time, and then other movies take over these kind of
yeah.
settings.
Yeah, and ideas and things like that.
Yeah.
So, right, that's good. Let's wrap it up there. We will continue. Actually, let's record the next podcast, not straight away, now.
No.
Let's take a break now, and we'll record the next podcast maybe on Monday or Tuesday next
yes.
week, and we'll talk about...
When you have your wisdom tooth taken out.
Yeah, maybe
afterwards.
Maybe not the day
mumbly.
After I go to the dentist to have teeth removed. Yeah, good point, actually. Maybe Tuesday. Anyway, we'll do it next week because I've got to go to a gig on Thursday. So definitely next week.
We will see.
We'll get through it and we will talk about pretty much everything in Phase 2, which goes from Iron Man 3 all the way through to Ant-Man, yeah, which we watched yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
And lots of TV series as well. And I don't want to get deep into TV series because there's just so much more time in those.
Yeah, so much
than
more
movies.
Happening as well.
So
but
we'll just kind of give...
In general overview.
Overall thoughts. We're
yes.
not going to go too much into those ones. But the movies we'll get through as well. So anyway, hope people enjoy this for their... In America, it's Thanksgiving Day today, so it can be an early holiday special.
Oh, is it today?
Yeah,
ah,
Thursday.
Okay.
Tomorrow is what they call Black Friday, so that's when
ah,
you know.
Right.
So this can be, and normally we hold up a book with a picture on it, the front cover of a book. We don't have anything.
Can't really do that.
No, we can't really do anything. So this is, we'll just take, there's not, we don't have anything, do we? We don't even have a DVD or Blu-ray disc. Cause
we can position ourselves in front of our TV with
okay,
Netflix.
We'll find a movie and point at it on Netflix in front of our TV. Yeah, that's a good idea. So, that's it. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burridge. On Instagram as Luke Burridge. I'm on YouTube as Luke Burridge. You can also email me at luke@juggler.net and find me on lukeburridge.com. Oh, sfbrp.com if you want to see previous specials and previous movies and reviews and things that we've done. You can go to the episode list page on there. And if you sort by... Well, actually, you can't sort by author. But if you sort by author... These special episodes of movies don't have an author, so they get sorted first. So you can look through previous movies that we've discussed and previous specials that we've done about Star Wars and Independence Day. And what we've talked about other movies as well. Oh, yeah, like Mission Impossible and stuff like that. So if you enjoyed this one, you can get our overall movie talks as well that we've done in the past. So that's it for me. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.